At Care Heating and Cooling, we put you first. You are the reason we're open 7 days a week and why it's easy to schedule service at careheatingandcooling.com. Your safety is why we check every gas furnace for carbon monoxide. And it's because of you that our techs are paid to fix your furnace, not sell you a new one. So it's no surprise that last year, Care was awarded a BBB Torch Award for ethics, because at Care, we're committed to doing business right. Call Care at 1-800-COOLING when you need a company you can trust.
Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, faucets, vanities, doors, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online now through July 18th. Not a member? Join My Lowe's Pro Rewards for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change. Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, tools, home essentials, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online now through July 18th. Not a rewards member? Join for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, when someone says, "Hey, let's make a Ouija board, it'll be fun," think twice before saying yes.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, if you have a real ghost story, we want to hear it, so call it in at 855-853-4802. If you like to write it in, go to realghoststoriesonline.com. And then, of course, if you would like to be a premium subscriber, you could do that. No commercials, advanced episodes, access to the archive. You could sign up through Apple Podcasts. You can try it 3 days free there. You can sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or go to ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes. Kathy Gordon, if I was to ask you to make a Ouija board with me tonight, would you be like, "That sounds fun"?
Yeah, well.
Oh, my God.
We could make it real artsy.
Oh, you could actually, yeah.
Yeah,
it you could be make real a good pretty. One.
Yeah, that's what we need to update the Ouija board look, so it has more of that beautiful tarot card look about it.
Oh, don't and then you when think? You're done, should we just sell it as opposed to actually use it?
Yeah, and then we could, like, you know, just the what do you call the pot the
planchette. Planchette?
Yes. Okay. I wanted to say plantation. I was like, wait a minute. I think that has something to do with British history, but I could be wrong. Anyway, you know, that could be made out of some really awesome material, you know, like a little piece of marble or something. Seems like that, you know, it could just be a beautiful board.
You know, and there are some different boards that are actually quite beautiful, kind of like tarot cards. There's so many different decks, and mm-hmm. some of them look totally different than others.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we're just out with some friends and somebody's like, "Hey, let's make a Ouija board. It'll be fun." I think I would be like, you know what? I think I'll walk the 20 miles back to town in the dark because that sounds like more fun.
Yeah. Like,
I'm going to risk serial killers.
Yeah. Well,
to get away from you.
Those are the kind of people that are like the hold my beer people, you know, they're going to make this and they don't even know what they're getting into.
And, you know, then you're at the party with all these people and then what do? You can't be the person that's like, "No, I don't want to do that." You can't be the voice of reason because they don't want to hear that. Yeah. Then you're no longer cool enough to hang out with.
Yeah, paranormal, hold my beer people.
Make a Ouija board.
Yeah, they think they know what they're doing. You know, like, "Well, bring it on, Satan." You know, like,
it's all fun and games until the demon showed up.
Yeah.
Well, here is the story. And it says, back in 2012, a group of friends and I decided to spend our fall break relaxing in my friend Amy's cabin. Amy's family had just purchased the cabin and we were going to take her on her maiden voyage. On the 2-hour drive there, we all joked about how we were a group of college kids going to a remote cabin in the middle of the woods in October and ranked the order in which we would die if this was a scary movie. It was all a big joke until we actually pulled up in the cabin. Now, let me preface this by saying that this cabin was not in the middle of nowhere. If you stood on the back porch, you could see the highway. We were even within walking distance from a gas station and had neighbors just 50 feet away, but the driveway was nothing but mud and loose rocks on a steep incline. Our car couldn't make it to the top of the hill with all of us inside, and on the drive down, we lost traction for a brief instant. That sounds exciting. After the driver saved us and the car from winding up in the ditch, we all got our first glimpse of the cabin. It was a two-story house covered in old wood paneling that had only gotten darker over time. The front porch was rotten in some parts, and it didn't look very sturdy. As you can imagine, the first thought that ran through my head was, "Are you shitting me?" And one of my friends even said, "We are so going to die here tonight." That would have been my line. "That's it. We're going to die." It looked run down, like the previous owners didn't take care of it, but most of our fears were lifted as we entered the cabin. The kitchen was completely redone and the living room was halfway complete. It was a nice little slice of relaxation, far from homework, projects, and tests. There was one catch. The cabin had no internet or cell phone reception, which would be impossible for people these days. Mm-hmm. I mean, it kind of sounds awesome. Let's just hang out and talk, but... Fast forward to the next night, my friends and I were joking about how sketchy the cabin looked when Amy's boyfriend, Ryan, mentioned making a Ouija board and trying to make contact with any spirits around there. We all decided that could be fun, and I was tasked with creating the makeshift Ouija board. So I took out a Sharpie to a piece of cardboard and wrote out the alphabet, numbers, and the yes and no. Ryan told me to ensure I drew the sun and moon on it because it symbolized balance. I had no idea what I was doing, so I just went with it. He claimed to have used a Ouija board numerous times, so we all followed his lead. We lit four white candles, set them around the board, used a small glass as our planchette. Ryan didn't put his hands on the glass because he said someone had to give their energy to the board for a spirit to come through, so he volunteered to be the energy. He placed his hands on the board, and the three of us placed our hands on the glass. The first spirit we talked to seemed normal. We spoke to someone who was just passing through, but that only lasted for a little while. Soon it started to spell out gibberish, and we said goodbye and closed the session. The next spirit we contacted said that they were connected to one of us. Immediately, we thought it was Amy's father, who had passed away just 2 years earlier, but we were proven wrong when it spelled out the word train. Now, a little backstory. A long time ago, there was a terrible incident involving one of my family members and a train, and I was the only person in my friend group that knew of that incident. It had happened so long ago, and it was honestly the last thing on my mind. And when we asked the spirit if one of us trained them, or if they wanted to train us in something, it moved to no each time. Eventually, I asked if the person it was connected to was me, and the glass moved to yes. It then proceeded to spell out, "Kill."
Oh.
At which point, I took my hands off the glass and told everyone there about the incident. We were all shocked, so we decided to end the session. We decided to have one more. We made contact with a spirit that called himself Yarp. Yarp said he was never alive and was well over 100 years old. We started asking him all sorts of silly questions, to which he responded. Then Ryan asked him if he knew any of us, and he replied yes. The glass then spelled out message. We asked what the message was, but he could not spell it out, so we had to blindly ask, "Is this the message?" type of questions. Eventually, that seems like that would take days.
Yeah.
Dun A, B, dun, dun,
exactly.
Like, I'd have to write it out.
Bigger than a bread box.
Exactly. Eventually, Ryan asked who the message was for, and the glass moved over to D, which immediately made him ask if the message was for me, to which he replied, yes. Someone remarked that we shouldn't ask anything creepy to the board, and I said, quote, "For the love of God, don't ask if it's life or death." Ryan, being the crazy guy, asked word for word, "Is this message a matter of life or death?" To which the glass moved to, yes. I was already past the point of being scared and just wanted to know, so I asked, "Am I going to die?" To which it said, yes. We decided right then and there that we were done with a makeshift Ouija board, blew out the candles, and threw them away. According to Ryan, we needed to cover the board in salt. So I put it in a trash bag, filled it with salt, Good thing they had some. Yeah. They were out there.
Yeah.
Threw it in the garbage. Later that night, Ryan started getting uncharacteristically rowdy, throwing things at Amy and being verbally abusive toward her. And another guy who was there decided that it would be best for him to be separated from everyone since he was scaring Amy and the other girls. Ryan started hitting himself, blaming the Ouija board for letting in demonic spirits. We just thought he was nuts. But looking back, it made sense. He was the one giving his energy to the board. If a spirit wanted to attach themselves to anyone, he would have been the easiest target. Throughout the night, Ryan would say crude, sexually explicit stuff about Amy. He would stomp around the cabin. He would push us. He even soiled himself at one point. I kid you not, he shit his pants. And around 4 a.m., the five of us barricaded ourselves in the upstairs bedroom and let Ryan run rampant downstairs. The next morning, we had all went downstairs together, noticed Ryan had made his way down to the basement where he eventually fell asleep. Just like that, our five-day trip turned into 2 days, and we drove back home the next morning. There isn't any other event in my life that has terrified me more than that night. If the makeshift Ouija board really worked, we all believed that the reason the spirits locked onto me was because I was the one who crafted it. We believed that something locked onto me and stayed with us for that night, and that it continued to torment Ryan until morning. I thought for a long time that I might be more sensitive to the paranormal than others. And I can assure you, if that's the case, I will not be using a Ouija board again anytime soon, especially the one that I made. Thank you so much for taking the time to read my story. It was something I just needed to get off my chest, Dustin. So do you think that Ryan was just acting up? Do you think it had to do with the Ouija board?
Well, you know, I think we've got two possibilities. I think there is the possibility that he actually did have some sort of possession situation going. And then the other possibility was he was just doing it to get everybody upset.
Well, because it seems to me, I don't know, maybe a spirit could take over you just for a little bit and then get bored and leave. Like Ryan fell asleep on the sofa in the basement. Maybe that was end of story. But it seems like it would take more than just like that one night, all that weird shit happened. And then they all just went home?
Yeah.
And nothing happened again after that? That seems weird too. But then Dustin, it seems to me if something would have attached itself to Dustin, Dustin would have known.
Yeah.
I don't think...
Well, and, you know, Dustin, are you going to die? Well,
yeah, we all are.
Because we all are. I mean, it didn't say tonight. It didn't say day after tomorrow. Yeah, well.
I mean, if I'm going to die, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, none of us gets out of here any other way.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
And I also, another thing that's not addressed in this story that I have to wonder, they're college kids going away for 5 days. Don't you assume they brought alcohol or something?
Well,
do you think Ryan
was
drunk? Because Ryan does kind of sound like one of those asshole guys that when he would get really drunk and you'd be at something like that and then one guy would always ruin it.
Well, there are the people that get drunk and then they're just mean.
Yeah.
You know.
Was Ryan like that? Did it say? It did say uncharacteristically, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Was it? But Ryan did shit his pants.
Yeah, that's true.
That's pretty extreme. But I have also seen drunk people do that.
Have you?
I mean...
You'd have, Carol?
Let's just say, yes.
That was quite a party.
I could name names. In fact, one night, I was at a party at some people's house in Hayes, Kansas. And there was a guy there, and I could name all the names, and you would know. And I will tell you.
Oh, my.
Okay. I just told her. I don't want to say his name in front of everybody. But we're all sitting around this party, and he'd gotten really drunk, right? And he'd gone to bed. And so we're all sitting around, continuing to party. There's like 7 or 8 of us, goofing off, whatever we're doing, I don't remember. He gets up, walks into the living room, goes to the corner, and pees.
Oh, no.
He just peed. And then he turned around and walked back to bed. He thought he went to the bathroom. I mean, he did go to the bathroom,
not in the bathroom,
yeah. So, you know, was Ryan that kind of drunk?
I don't know. That's what I said. I don't have any idea. You know, I think we've got two things happening. And I think the only people that can know are the ones that were there that night and know those other people well. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think they know Ryan and whether, you know, what Ryan's like. And, you know, if this was just some bizarre, weird one-time thing that, you know, seemed like Ryan just kind of became possessed. And it seemed like it said one of the other guys was acting weird, too, and scared Amy and the girls. And
it's pretty bad when you barricade yourself in a room to keep away from Ryan.
Yeah.
Like, Ryan is going so batshit crazy. We have barricaded ourselves into the room. We're leaving at daylight is kind of what it felt like. I imagine Dustin was scared shitless.
Yeah. I think so.
I don't know if it had anything to do with the Ouija board, if it had something else to do with Ryan, or maybe just the whole Ouija board experience put him in this weird state of mind. Or maybe he was possessed by a demonic entity.
And maybe you shouldn't do the hold my beer paranormal stuff. You know?
Just a lesson for all y'all. I'm with you.
You don't tease them. You don't get drunk and go, yeah, let's do Ouija board stuff.
Here we are in a cabin that we've been joking about who dies first and in what order.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. Bad idea. Okay, here is a caller.
My name is Lex. I live in Washington State. Anyways, a couple weeks ago, I went on the very first ghost hunt. There's a paranormal investigator here in Bellingham. Where I'm from in Washington State, and I decided that me and a few friends would go along on this ghost hunt. I'd never been on one before, and even though I've seen some things in my childhood home before, I was still pretty skeptical that we were going to see anything. So we showed up, and it ended up only being me, three of my friends, and then this paranormal investigator. And we went into there's a little town called Fairhaven. It's part of Bellingham. It's the historic part of town, basically. And we went into these trails where the founder of Fairhaven, I believe, his name is Dirty Dan Harris, his cabin used to be. And there's like a bunkhouse or something, like a slave bunkhouse. I can't remember exactly what it is, but it's the trails are known to be haunted. So I went on my first ghost hunt, and we had brought some equipment. Voice recorders, some REM pods, K2 meters, that sort of thing. And then, of course, a night vision camera. When I was there, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't think we would capture much, but most of what we got was just, you know, our own personal experiences that I couldn't document, but I know for a fact what I experienced was completely real. Saw a lot of shadow figures for the first time. I saw an orb over my shoulder when I went walking down the trail on my own, which I didn't think I'd do, but I got so sucked into the experience. I started doing things I never thought I would do on a ghost hunt, which was wandering off on my own. Saw some of the K2 meters react right in front of us, which was crazy. I had a REM pod light up next to me one time. We caught a few noises and sounded like whispers on the voice recorders, which was amazing. The scariest part was we were all starting to gather up the equipment to move to a different location, and we kept hearing like footsteps in the bushes. And it was big. It wasn't like bear or anything, but it wasn't small like a raccoon. It was pretty significant. So we thought it was a person. The problem with our town is there's a lot of homeless, so we were assuming it was a homeless person. So we kind of surrounded the area of the bushes where we were hearing the footsteps and shined our flashlights in, and there was nothing there. Absolutely nothing. We searched the area. There was nobody there, but it definitely sounded like a person just shuffling back and forth, watching us. Somebody threw a stick in there at first thinking it was an animal. And usually if you startle an animal, you can hear it bolt. Nothing happened. The steps just continued to shuffle back and forth uninterrupted. It was absolutely crazy. Anyway, that was my story. It was definitely an unforgettable experience. So that was cool to actually kind of seek out paranormal, a paranormal experience instead of having it happen without it meaning to. So just wanted to share that story. Thank you guys for what you do. Thank you very much. Bye.
So I don't know. I have never done a ghost hunt myself. I don't know that I could. Can you do one?
Depends on yeah. what, where, when. I would have to, you know.
Exactly. And the thing about that one is outside. I think anytime you're doing a paranormal investigation. I
mean, you kind of have done one. We did one up in Chicago where we all had meters.
Yeah, but it wasn't the same. That was more of a tour.
But we were watching and looking yeah. for things. And we got some readings. And
but to me, when you're outside, I think there's even more variables. Like when you're inside, you're more contained. Doesn't help you explain some of your experiences. Mm-hmm. But outside, you know, and she's right. Was it an animal? Was it a homeless person? But then there's nobody there. What are they hearing?
Mm-hmm.
And footsteps are different than an animal. You could tell kind of the difference between a raccoon or something moving around yeah. in the bushes than a person.
Yeah. And, you know, once again, the shadow thing is, you know, was it a shadow figure or was it, you know, like she said, there were homeless people and stuff. Could it have been something, mm-hmm. you know, like that you're seeing? The orb thing I thought was particularly interesting yeah. in this story. Not that you caught it on a camera, but that you saw
to see
one.
It. That's so to me, you know, I think it's pretty exciting. If you, when you go out to find something like that, to see it and see if you can have an experience and you do.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I would be anxious to have her go into a building, like a place that's yeah. haunted, and see how she does with that.
I do think the footsteps thing is weird because you should have been able to, and throwing the stick in was a good idea because mm-hmm. you would have heard something rustling, but then you would have heard somebody run off.
Well, yeah.
I don't know what they heard. Yeah, but what was the founder's name? Dirty Dan or
Dirty
something?
Dirty Dan Harris has said.
It sounds like a piece yeah. of property that would be haunted AF if it was Dirty Dan Harris is the founder of the town.
Yeah.
And it makes me think that Dirty Dan...
like a Clint Eastwood movie yeah, or something.
But Dirty Dan founded it. Like, there was nefarious things going on with that man.
Most definitely.
He's got things hidden in that property.
Yeah, most definitely.
There's bodies hidden out there, and that's what they were finding.
I hope to hear some more from Lex, I believe is what they said, and hear, like, more experiences and adventures in ghost hunting.
Yeah. I'm just not brave enough, and I've talked about this quite a bit. Part of my thing is, and I think it's growing up in a haunted house, I don't want to go search that out. I experienced it. We experienced it for years. Mm-hmm. Done that. You know, I just don't need to find it again.
Well, or you're always afraid that if you do, then
it comes
with you.
Yeah, I am. I don't want it here. I have a very nice, loving, peaceful home. I like to keep it that way. But I think it's cool. I think that she went out looking for something, and I actually think she found some.
Yeah, and I'm going to hear more.
Oops. Well, if you have a real ghost story, we do want to hear it. Call it in at 855-853-4802. Or write in your story at realghoststoriesonline.com. And you can become a premium subscriber. With that, you get advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials. You can sign up through Apple Podcasts. Or go to patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In The News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.